KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:06, it's 30 degrees here at the KJAN studios in Atlanta. Good morning, I'm Brett Johnson with KJAN News. An Audubon County Sheriff's deputy on routine patrol early Friday morning likely saved the lives of a Brayton family when he alerted them to a fire. Sheriff Todd Johnson.
Audubon County Deputy Jason Rookie was on patrol in Brayton approximately 4 o'clock this morning. He smelled smoke in the area, so he searched the area. He found smoke coming out of a vent of a house at 307 Reynolds. He contacted the fire department, and he went to the residence, woke up two adults and two kids, and got them out of the residence and got them to their SUV to stay warm. At that point in time, the fire department arrived and went to put out the fire.
Firefighters remained on the scene for about 2 hours. The amount of damage to the home is unknown. The 27-year-old Iraq, who has served for the Sheriff's Department for a year, and Johnson says he came from Des Moines where he studied criminal justice. He went through the Iowa Law Enforcement Academy soon after being hired by the Audubon County Sheriff's Department. It's not clear what caused the blaze, but since it started in the attic, the deputy thinks they may have had an electrical-related cause of that fire. The 27-year-old Rock is a 2004 graduate again of the high school, and he says he's glad he was able to live up to the role of being a law enforcement officer, which is to protect and to serve.
So I told my dispatcher it was one for the books, so I was definitely happy that I was able to smell that, you know, have the wind in the right direction, that it took the smoke kind of across my path, and so I could smell that and get them awake and out. And felt pretty good to do that.
The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports a burglary occurred sometime Friday in Red Oak. At about 5:15 p.m., the Sheriff's Office received a report from 52-year-old Marlon Peterson of rural Red Oak, who says someone had broken into his residence on Friday between 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. and took some of his belongings. The loss was estimated at about $1,000. Anyone with information should contact Montgomery County Crime Stoppers at 1-800-432-1001. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office says two arrests have been made in connection with burglaries that occurred on or about October 16th in the Locust Grove Township. Officials say Thursday afternoon that 19-year-old Colton Frank Setterberg and 42-year-old Chantel Lee Johnson, who are both from Shenandoah, were arrested after following an investigation into the theft of items from the Raymond Welshin's residence at Brad Welsh at the Brad McDonald Farm. The stolen property was recovered from a home at 602 Illinois Street in Essex following an execution of a search warrant. Setterberg and Johnson were charged with multiple counts of burglary and theft. They were being held in the Fremont County Jail on $5,000 bond. Earlier in the week, 21-year-old Michael Lee Glenn of Shenandoah was arrested in connection with thefts following execution of a search warrant at 306 West Washington Street in Randolph and 1114 West Sheridan in Shenandoah. Glenn faces a possession of drug paraphernalia charge. November is National Home Care and Hospice Month, and it marks the 40-year anniversary since Cass County Home Care first began providing home health service for patients and their families in southwestern Iowa. CCHC will commemorate its anniversary with an open house for the public on Wednesday, November 7th from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. at 1500 East 10th Street in Atlantic. Cass County Home Care first opened its doors in November of 1972 at Cass County Memorial Hospital. Over the years, its services have expanded to include wound care, physical, occupational, and speech therapies, among others. In 2010, Cass County Home Care became part of the Iowa Home Health Care Service, which is the largest home health care provider in the state of Iowa and an affiliate of the Iowa Health System. This past year, Cass County Home Care has been recognized for its quality care and service by being ranked in the top 5% of home health care agencies in the U.S. by HealthSight. National Home Care and Hospice Month was designed to recognize the work of home health care professionals, including administrators, nurses, and others. To learn more about the Iowa Home Health Care and its services, you can visit yourhomehealthcare.org, or you can also contact 712-243-8006. Plastic tubes filled with chemicals are popular with Iowa trick-or-treaters, but they're also subject to hundreds of calls to the Poison Control Center every fall. Spokesperson Joan McVoy says while glow sticks do help and make children more visible in the dark, they can also cause lots of problems.
They're plastic, and the kids, little kids love to chew on it because it's soft, and it's kind of like a teething ring to them, and then they break it open because it's not that hard. And inside there's a chemical called dibutyl phthalate. It gets in their mouth, and the parents panic because they call us because their child's mouth is now glowing in the dark.
Last year, glow sticks were the subject of 282 calls to the Poison Center's hotline. Parents who realize their kids have managed to munch through a glow stick need to act quickly.
If that happens, definitely go ahead and give us a call. The nurse is going to be able to tell you, you know, whether it's going to be a problem or not. Sometimes when it gets in the eyes, it'll also cause some burning sensation and some stinging, and the nurse will tell you exactly what you're supposed to do.
While getting that glow stick goo certainly isn't good for you, it's probably not going to be fatal to your child, though.
It's poisonous because it can make them sick and cause some symptoms. It's not something that we would send into an emergency room, but a parent definitely should go ahead and give us a call, and we'll be able to give them some instructions on what to do.
The Iowa Regional Poison Center is at 1-800-222-1222. Taking a look now at state news on KJAN, an Iowa man who dealt firearms without a license in several states has been placed on probation for 3 years in a federal gun case. The U.S. Attorney's Office says 62-year-old Tony Hulstein of Sheldon was sentenced in U.S. District Court in Sioux City on Friday. He was ordered to perform 150 hours of community service and pay a $500 special assessment. Hulstein must forfeit all firearms, 3 gun safes, and a trailer used to transport the guns. Prosecutors say Hulstein bought and sold over 800 guns during a 4-year period and was in possession of more than 100 when he was arrested. University of Northern Iowa leaders are asking that the grievance process be allowed to work to resolve a dispute between an Iowa guardsman and a teacher who refused to let him make up a test he missed because of a weekend drill. Scott Peters, the chairman of UNI's Faculty Senate, released a statement on Friday from 12 UNI officials in which they urge calm. Peters says the teacher has been subjected to hateful, harassing emails. He asks that the public and UNI community reserve judgment to allow the process to work. James Rodler filed a grievance with the University of Northern Iowa seeking a makeup test for an exam he missed because he had to attend a 4-day drill. And the Polk County Medical Examiner's Office says a man found dead in a burning Des Moines apartment died of smoke inhalation. Authorities say 65-year-old David Robinson was found dead on Thursday in his apartment on the city's south side in Des Moines. The Medical Examiner's Office released results of an autopsy on Friday. A toxicology report will take several weeks. Robinson's body was found in the living room. The fire was contained to a bedroom. The cause of that fire still remains under investigation, as no other details are currently available. Taking a look now at our funeral announcements on KJAN. 95-year-old Maxine England of Griswold died Tuesday at Montgomery County Memorial Hospital in Red Oak. Funeral services for Maxine England will be held this morning at 10 o'clock at Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. 98-year-old Mary Alice Regler of Guthrie Center died on Monday at Guthrie County Hospital in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Mary Regler will be held this morning at 10 o'clock at First Christian Church in Guthrie Center, with a luncheon to follow at the church. Fellowship Hall, as Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center, has the arrangements. 86-year-old Marjorie Alice Johnson of Atlantic died Wednesday at Cass County Memorial Hospital. Memorial services for Marjorie Johnson will be held this morning at 10:30 at United Church of Christ in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. 91-year-old Ruby Claver of Carroll and formerly Manila died Tuesday at St. Anthony Nursing Home in Carroll. A massive Christian burial service for Ruby Claver will be held this morning at 10:30 at Sacred Heart Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has arrangements. 94-year-old Alta M. Walker Berkowski, formerly of Irwin, died on Wednesday at the Manila Manor. Funeral services for Alta Walker Berkowski will be held on Monday at 10:30 at United Methodist Church in Irwin. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. 97-year-old Tom O. Morrison of Stewart died on Wednesday at Guthrie County Hospital. Funeral services for Tom Morrison will be held on Monday at 10:30 at First Congregational Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. 82-year-old Robert Bob Pauls, a longtime Atlantic resident, died Tuesday at Wesley Acres in Des Moines. Services for Bob Pauls will be held on Tuesday at 11 at First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. And 94-year-old Ruth E. Emmons of Atlantic died on Friday, as she's also formerly from Adair. As she died at the Heritage House, services for Ruth Emmons are currently pending with Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Adair. That's a look at our news on KJAN. I'm Brett Johnson reporting.